How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That He should give His only Son. To save a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns His face away as wounds mar the chosen one. Bring many sons to glory. Sometimes I feel awkward. I really do. I'm not a public speaker. I really am not. I feel awkward. I have conversations with different ones, and sometimes in our classes that we take, you know, I just feel real awkward. Like I don't know. I just don't. It's like it's not me, you know. And it reminds me all the time of what God does through me. You know, I'm really nothing without God in my life. You know, I'm really nothing without God in my life. Everything that I'm able to do, I give Him all the credit for it. You know, some people are just dynamic. You know, I talk to some people and it's like, man, I wish I could talk like that. Or, man, that was the answer. I had it in my head, but why didn't it come out of my lips? You know, you ever been that way? You ever been that way? So I'm not alone in that. You know, life has really been interesting over the last, 53 years, I guess. I would say probably 45 years, because there was a few years I really don't remember much, right? Those first 4 or 5 years, you know, you got little things in your head that you kind of remember, you know. You know, usually it's something traumatic, you know, when you run into a fishbowl and crack your head open. That really happened, I promise. My grandmother always had fish, and Grandpa was cleaning the fish tank, and he's walking down the hallway, and I remember this, just as clear as a bell. He's carrying this out, and here I come, you know, like this tall, barreling down through there, and bam, I hit this. And so then here comes Dad home from work. I'm to the hospital, you know. We remember things like that. I don't even know how old I was. I wasn't very old. But, you know, if I was to ask you this morning, if you only had 24 hours to live, would it change your way of thinking? Would it change what you would do? Or if you knew somebody that only had 24 hours to live, would it change your relationship with them? Would you change your plans to go see them? Yeah, I think it would. It would change mine. You know, we don't know what day or the hour our life will be over. We don't know what the day will bring. We don't know. We're not able to see the future, but we can prepare for the future. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. There are certain things that you can do, and there are certain things to avoid in life. We learn some of those things the hard way. Sometimes they're a good way, and we remember them, and we want to carry those and teach them to our children. We call it life that we live, this short time here on earth that we have, that God has granted us. And life, you know, is a time period that we have to live and make our mark on this earth. Some people want to make a mark on this world. And you know, there's a time that given to us by God to accept the gift of salvation and eternal life with Him. And we'll live forever, but where we spend eternity is by the decisions that we make in our lifetime. It's our decision in this short time we're here on earth. You know, there's so many people that have regrets in this life because they either thought they had more time or choose to ignore the things that God was trying to show them. You know, I can remember a time in my life, and I look back at that time and I think, man, such time wasted. Man, I wished I hadn't have done that. You know, there's times in life it seems like this is the way I feel, like you get pitched out in the middle of a briar patch with no pants on. Yeah. And no matter which direction you go, you know it's going to hurt. But you're there. That's life, right? That's life. You know, life is the first breath to the last breath, and what you do in that period of time is your journey of life. And so this morning, I want to talk about this God-given time called the journey of life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word, Lord. I just ask for You to guide my words this morning, Lord. Lord, be here with us today and let us understand what You have for us. Open up our eyes. Open up our hearts. I praise You and I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. King David, he wrote in Psalms 37:25, I was young and now I'm old. I kind of know that more and more every day, because at 53, I can't do the things I did when I was 20 or 25. I'm telling you. Even getting out in the yard and chasing the dog around is a challenge. I'm like, I got to get the leash because I can't chase him like I used to, right? You know, when I was younger, I thought I would live forever. And even now, after this kidney disease that I went through, I realize that things come up in life that can knock you off your feet. It can knock you off your horse, if you want to say. You know, I don't see things the same as I did when I was first a Christian, and I would hope that I see the bigger picture. You know, and when you think about that, we have just such a short time here on this earth compared to eternity. Picture that. You know, this time which we cannot know how long we live or to what health that we live it. Sometimes we have a short time and sometimes we have a long time, right? We never know. I think everyone loves living on the mountaintops of life and living through all the good times, but no one loves living in the valleys of life. They're the hard times, stressful times. But, you know, I find it that when I lived in Colorado, when we would go up into the higher elevations, there's a tree line around the mountains, you know. And when you get to the tree line, when you're on the mountaintop, there's no growth. There's no green grass. There's no beautiful trees. All that's down in the valleys. And that's where true growth comes. We grow when we're in the valleys, even when it's hard. Inside of us is a God-given void that can only be filled by God. You know, we desire to find a purpose and fulfillment in our lives, don't we? Many times we think about, what am I supposed to do? Especially when we're young. We're always thinking about, what am I supposed to do in life? I don't understand. I don't know what my life is going to be like. Sometimes life chooses. It's not always what you think. Most of you know my stories. I went in the military right out of high school, and then I moved out west to work on a cowboy ranch out there, and I rode horses 8 hours a day and took pack trips up in the mountains, and I loved that life. That was my life right there. And one of my buddies, he still does that life, and he's my age, and he's like, I talked to him just a few days ago, and he's like, man, this is killing me. But I don't want to change it. That lifestyle is not normal nowadays. It's uncommon for, you know, it's going by the wayside. In other words, but I met Leanne in college, and that changed everything, right? Life was a change. You know, that's what I'm saying. It's not always what we think it's going to be. You know, we can in our journey try to fill it with many things, but the only true thing that fills that void is a relationship with God. That's my point to all that. I tried to fill it with fun and adventure and anything and everything from riding bulls to riding bareback horses in the rodeo to flying in helicopters wherever I get a chance. I mean, I wanted to do whatever that brought fun to me. But it wasn't until I realized that God had a purpose for me in my life and wanted a relationship with me that my perspective changed. You know, the thing about God is it's not forced, and We would never be able to stand before God and say that He did not numerous times in our journey reach out and move us towards Him. You know, though our journeys have different elements, our journey should move us from an unbeliever to a believer, from sinner who is lost in their sins to sinner saved by grace and God's mercy leading us to eternal life with Him. Amen. God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. God's grace, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. Mercy is God giving us what we deserve. And I believe that God purposely gives us many times, numerous times, to experience His love and His Holy Spirit wanting to draw us to Himself. There's not a day that goes by, there's not a church service that goes by that God is not drawing you to a closer relationship with Him. And it doesn't matter where you are on your journey. It doesn't matter how mature you are, how close you are to God, God wants more of you. He wants more of me. Paul says, it's not like I've attained it yet. But he said, I keep pressing on towards the mark. He hadn't attained it yet. God draws you and me to Himself. He's always searching for you even when you're not with Him, and we call that prevenient grace. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. And while you and I were doing our own thing, Christ died for our sins. He draws us close. He draws us close, wanting us to have a relationship with Him. And He made the first move. Amen? He made the first move. We think we found God. He found us when we responded to His love. You know, that really hit me. I think, well, I found Jesus. No, He found me first. He's always after the one that left the 99, right? He's always looking. You know, as Nazarenes, we believe that God is in His love reaches out to all people everywhere. It is the grace to believe that it is the grace of God that points us to a loving God. Grace awakens us to know that we have a need for God. It's the grace of God that brings us to a point of reconciliation with Him. You know, we don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. And there's lots of questions that I have, and I'm sure there's lots of questions that you have. But it is a point in our life that we know that there is a void in our lives, and we begin to investigate the possibility of God being the filler of that void that is missing. You know, I've shared my story before many times and the experiences that I've had, but I want to share the experience of prevenient grace of God in my life, drawing me closer to Him. And I remember as a young man, you know, music was a part of my life, and I went to compete in a competition, and I was playing music at Peoria at the state fair up there with a group, and Rex Allen Jr. was hosting it, and it was a big deal. I thought I was really something, you know, to get to play on stage with all these big stars, and Willie Nelson's there, you know, and they're like, I'm playing with Willie Nelson's band, and they're like, Hey, you want you come back after this is over to the bus? So I walk on the Willie Nelson's bus, and I'm sitting there and I'm seeing all these guys drinking and smoking and snorting cocaine, and I'm like, man, something just come over me like I'd never felt before in my life. I was raised in church. I knew who God was. I'd heard about Him all my life. I was a product of drug abuse for 20 years. That's right. I was drugged to church on Wednesday. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning. I was drugged to church on Sunday night. 20 years of drug abuse. But I didn't know who God was, really, inside. I didn't have a right relationship with Him. But yet that day when I walked, that evening when I walked on that bus and I saw what was going on, I just felt this overwhelming Spirit of God that came over me and said, hey, you don't belong here, son. This is not who you are. This is not what I want for you in your life. And I left. And I drove all the way home. And for a long time, after Lee and I got married, there was a long period of time I didn't even play music. I just avoided it. And it really wasn't until I got saved in 1993 right here in this church that God started working on me again and said, hey, I gave you that gift for a reason. Now use it for me to the best of your ability. You know, God draws us close. That's my point. He wants that relationship with us if we just listen. Now, I'm not perfect by any means. I've made my mistakes. He always makes the first move, and He always desires for us to move towards Him. And in that encounter, we know who He is. I knew that was God talking to me. Telling me, son, you don't belong here. I had a choice right there. I could have made that choice. I could have just said, leave me alone. I'm going to do my own thing. We've all had those moments in our life where we come to that place, that moment in our life where we know that we've come to that line, and it's either we can shut our ears off and do what we want to do, or we can listen to what God wants us to do. God knows. He can see when we're headed in the wrong direction and when we need to turn around and when we need to stop doing. And, you know, many of us can think of times with the experiences that we've had and happened to us that sometimes we need to slow down and sometimes we hesitate, but we keep doing our own thing. Instead of listening to what God wants us to do, God continues to reach out, and even when we give Him a rejected hand. I can't imagine what He feels like when He reaches out and says, I want to help you. And instead of getting our hand in His, He gets just pushed away. I've done that before. There's times in the church when God speaks to us. There's been times I've been sitting in a pew, even as a young man, when I felt the Spirit of God tugging at me and I refuse to listen. So somewhere in the journey of life, if we are to become a Christian, we have to respond to God's grace that reaches out to us. And if not, we ignore those experiences and we will regret for eternity the opportunity that God gives us. I wonder, of all those times that I rejected Him, what He really wanted from me that I didn't get to experience. God reconciles you to Himself. That's what He wants, and this is His saving grace. With His saving grace, you have listened to Him, moving you towards Him, and you realize that you are in need of a Savior. So many of us have tried to fix our lives, and it's at that point when we know that we cannot fix it ourselves. We need Him to fix it for us. There's always a crisis moment. And every one of us that has accepted Christ as Savior has had that crisis moment in our life where we discover that Jesus is who He says He is and wants us to do what He said He would do. And we realize that what Jesus did on the cross is the only way that we will be redeemed from our sins. We all have that moment. I had that moment. That experience that I'll never forget. It's no longer about being a good person. It's about accepting a good and great God as Lord of your life. Saving grace is God drawing you and me to Himself and you saying yes. Like that first crazy song we sang, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord." You know, it is where what you heard is now what you experience. It is where faith is born. You know, our experiences, we don't forget those experiences with God. Used to, the experiences were standing on the skids of a helicopter at 3,000 feet, flying around, or riding on the back of a 2,500-pound bull. Those were experiences that I never forget. That's why I walk funny. Jumping off the high dive for the first time. Sometimes it's like that. It's not until we have that experience the first time and then we can look back and say, you know, that wasn't all that hard. I can do this. That's what it's like when we come to Christ. Sometimes we just need to jump off the high dive. It's that experience, that crisis moment when we come to the edge and look down and we're like, oh, I can't do this. We can all know God, but until we ourselves experience Him, we cannot be saved from our sins. And it is a personal experience that goes from that crisis moment till the day of the Lord brings us home. Amen? Amen. Faith goes from the head to the heart, and that's what I'm talking about. It goes from just knowing God in our head to knowing Him in our heart because of the experience that we just had, and we know that He has forgiven us. We know He has redeemed us, and we know that one day we can stand in front of the Father and He'll say, "Come on in, good and faithful servant. I know who you are and I know what you've done." Jesus becomes the truth in your life, and "I am the way, the truth, and the life" is what the Scripture says, and "no man, no woman comes to the Father except through me." through Jesus Christ. This is the moment that our life changes forever. You can never undo that moment that God became real to you in your life. You can later reject what you have experienced by choice, but you will never be able to stand before Him and say, "I didn't know Him." The Scripture says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone and the new is here." All this comes from God as we respond to His life-saving grace, and it is a free gift that keeps on giving as the new believer travels on his journey. Amen? As we travel on our journey. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created." I want to tell a story that I've heard before and read. And there's a young boy who was taken to the principal's office for fighting. And this wasn't the first time that the boy was in trouble. And the principal asked, "What's he in here today for?" "Fighting," said the teacher. "What did he do?" "Well, he shoved Tommy's face in the sandbox and kicked him a couple times." "What did Tommy do to you?" principal asked. "Well, nothing. I didn't like the way he looked at me." And the teacher sniffed, but the principal stopped him as he quietly said that, "Today is the day you're going to learn what grace is." "Grace," the little boy said, "isn't that what you do? Isn't that what old people do before they sit down and eat? I don't need none of your grace." "Oh," the principal said, "but you do," said the principal. The principal studied the young man's face and whispered, "You really need to understand this." The boy continued to glare at the principal. Grace is, in its short definition, is favor. Unmerited favor. You cannot earn it. It is a gift and is always freely given. It means that you will not be getting what you so richly deserve. The boy looked at the principal. "You're not going to whoop me? You're just going to let me walk out the door?" The boy studied the face of the principal. "No punishment at all? Even though I socked Tommy and shoved his face into the sandbox?" "Oh, there has to be punishment. What you did was wrong, and there is always consequences to our actions. There will be punishment. Grace is not an excuse for doing wrong." "I knew it," sneered the boy as he held out his hands. "Let's get it over with." The principal nodded towards the teacher. "Bring me my paddle." The teacher presented the paddle to the principal, and he carefully took it in his hand, and then he handed it back to the teacher. He looked at the child and said, "I want you to count the blows." The principal walked over to stand directly in front of the young man, and he gently reached out and he bent over. And the little boy expected one quiet word came forth from his mouth. The principal said, "Begin." The little boy stood there. The young man jumped, shocked. Shock registered across his face. And one, he whispered. Two, his voice cracked. Three, he couldn't believe what he was seeing. 4, big tears welled up in his eyes. Okay, he said, stop, stop, that's enough, stop. The little boy begged, stop. I did it. I'm the one who deserves it. Stop, please stop. Finally, it was over and the principal stood up with a glistening across his forehead, beads trickling down his face, and slowly he knelt down to the young man for a second, and then he reached out to cradle the face of the weeping child, and he said, that's what grace is. So we have a God that took our punishment, what we deserved. So we have this grace, and God draws us close to Him with the prevenient grace that goes out before, and we have a grace that saves us from the sins that we don't get that when we deserve, because Jesus has paid the price for us. And third, there's the sanctifying grace as well. God's grace that empowers us and strengthens and guides us. You know, I think about the disciples and what they were like before the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Sanctifying grace allows us, after we totally surrender ourselves to the Lord to work in His ways, we are not perfect, but we are devoted to Him and by choice walk in surrender to Him. Many wait to be saved, but only a few devote themselves to the total surrender to the things of God. See, the Holy Spirit empowers us. It gives us strength. And I remember the stories of the disciples and how they failed before, but yet when the power of the Holy Spirit came on them in the day of Pentecost, after that they could speak boldly for Christ. That walking in sanctifying grace. They knew what prevenient grace was because it was the grace that went out and gathered them up. Then they witnessed what the saving grace was when Jesus went to the cross and paid their penalty for them. And then they received the sanctifying grace, the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. An amazing story. We believe we're drawn by the holy love through prevenient grace. We are captured by the holy love through saving grace. And we are purified and set apart by the holy love through sanctifying grace. We grow in grace as we get closer to our walk with God. And that is being in the fullness of Christ. And this is what John meant when he said, when the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Christ comes that we might have life and life more abundantly. And that's the abundant life that he's talking about. So as I close this morning, leave knowing that we are to have the grace of God walking in our lives no matter where we are in this journey of life. Beginning with grace that draws us to God, we respond in His drawing and saving grace where we realize we need a Savior that can reconcile us with God from all of our sins. And a sanctifying grace where we want the Lord to fill us to overflowing and we devote ourselves to Him. So my prayer to you this morning is, where are you at on this journey? Where are you at in this walk of life? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that Your Holy Spirit does its great work here this morning. Lord, you're the one that does all the work. Lord, we just are here to listen. Lord, let us surrender ourselves to You this morning and draw closer to You into that right relationship with You. Lord, let us leave here better than we came. Lord, I pray right now, if there's someone here today that needs to get closer to you, that they just make that decision right now. That they just hear your voice speaking to them. Lord, do your mighty work. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Lord, I praise you and I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.